B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight. I don't want to lose your love tonight.
Sports Hub, 12:05 to be exact. I'm Christian Arkins. That's Tim McCone. No Zoe, no Beetle, no Hardy today even. You just got us today until 2 o'clock. Phones at 617-779-0985. We're reacting to this, these odds that came out on Bet Online. Bet Online with random odds. When it comes to whether or not some NFL players will be with their teams in 2021. Also odds on whether or not Bill Belichick will be with the Patriots for game one of the next season. Not this season, obviously, but next season. Currently, the odds are better that he won't be than that he will be. Now, I'm not a bankroll boy here, McCone. I don't pretend to be one. I do okay when I bet on football, not when I bet on anything else. I'm pretty good at betting on football. Okay. I made some money betting football.
All right.
When I try and do baseball or basketball or anything else, really, I completely crash and burn. But football, I do okay. But I also know, and I think everybody sort of understands this at the base of it all, is that when they put out odds like this, they're trying to get action, right? It's not that they 100% think that the Patriots are going to beat the Bills. It's that they think bettors think that. And that's what they're putting the odds out for. They're trying to get action. They're trying to get people to put money down on this, that, or whatever. And for whatever reason, and I'm not sure exactly what sort of sparked this, because we haven't heard anything about this. We haven't heard any rumblings around here that Belichick might not want to come back at the end of this season. But for some reason, Bet Online and maybe out in Vegas, or maybe they're just trying to drum up some talk. I don't know. They're saying that there are better odds that he leaves and is not the coach of the Patriots. In fact, the odds are +120 for yes, that's 6-5, and -150, 2-3 for no. And I saw that and just thought, man, that is, and it's not like every single book in the world has it. I know not everyone puts out the same futures and things like that, but that to me is indicative of something. Now, we had a caller just come on and say he's not going to coach until he's 70. He doesn't want to be Marv Levy. Well, he's going to be 70 really soon. And has he set up some kind of succession line? Like, do you think that once he leaves, when Bill leaves, it's all going to Josh? Is it all going to one of his sons? Is it going to both of his sons? Is it going to Gerard Mayo? Is it going to Ivan Fears? I don't know who it is. I mean, like, it's really, it could go any direction. We don't know. But there is now an actual place you can go and bet and get better odds on Bill not coming back than on him returning. And I think that that's in and of itself kind of remarkable, isn't it?
No, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. I think especially when you come off a decision where Tom Brady walks out the door, you're thinking,
right,
well, at least long term, that means that Belichick's going to be here for the next few years. You're not thinking that he's going to walk out the door after the 2020 season. I have to believe that McDaniels is in line to be the next guy just because of the way that he, you know, backed out of the Indianapolis gig,
right,
comes back to New England. So there has to be some sort of backroom deal there, I would think, right? But ultimately, yeah, I would be absolutely floored if Bill Belichick left after this season, because again, I don't think Kraft lets Brady walk knowing full well that he's only got 16 games left to Bill Belichick.
There was also another piece of NFL news today, and that was Adrian Peterson, who, by the way, the Washington football team just tweeted out a picture of Peterson yesterday. Picture of him looking all big and buff and mean, big sneer on his face. He's ready. That was the caption. He's ready to get released, because that's what happened today. They cut him loose. Adrian Peterson, father of the year back in 2009. Peterson, who, listen, I mean, obviously he's had his issues, but he's 35 years old. And according to CBS Sports, I believe it's Jeff Kerr, not La Canfora, says that the Patriots are on top of the short list of teams that would be interested in him, along with the Chicago Bears, the Vikings, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Here is what he wrote about the Patriots. Quote, Patriots have been a fit for every free agent running back that has been available this offseason, but there's a reason behind the madness. What do you think that reason is, Tim McCone? Because Sony Michel blows?
Yeah, he's not good.
I don't think Michelle blows personally, but I don't know where this is going. So truth is, New England can use all the help they can get. The Patriots do have Sony Michel, but how reliable is he? Injuries have hindered Michel's ability to make an impact, as he's averaging just over 4 yards per carry in his two seasons, the 31st of the 41 running backs that eclipsed over 200 carries over the last 2 years, including 3.7 last year. James White still has a role in the offense as the top pass-catching option. Damian Harris primed for more carries as he battles Michel for the lead back role. This is where Peterson comes in. Okay. New England could use a veteran back to mentor this young group. Oh boy. Especially while the Patriots wait for Lamar Miller to round into form. The Patriots also could use another power back, even though Michel has proven he can carry that mantle. If the Patriots add Peterson, it's simply to add some spice to their already full running back cabinet. Bill Belichick has signed his fair share of veterans before. Now, the logic here, I'm okay with. I'm actually on board with. I just didn't want this particular player. I would have rather that it was Leonard Fournette. And if you could have gotten Fournette at $3.5 million, whatever it was, $2 million guaranteed, $3.5 million with incentives, I would have absolutely liked that for all of the reasons that Kerr listed here for the Patriots. I don't believe in the running back room. I don't think Sony Michel is reliable. I don't think James White's a guy you can hand the ball off to. I have no idea what to expect from Damian Harris. I liked him coming out of Alabama, but now, you know, after 1 year where he couldn't get on the field, and now he busted his hand and can't, you know, play on opening day. Like, there's a lot there, too. And Lamar Miller's still waiting. He just got activated off the PUP list this week. Is he even a guy that, you know, you can rely on or even feel good about? Jones said he liked Lamar Miller better than Fournette last night, which I thought was insane.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of Lamar Miller fans out there, and he can catch the ball. He can do a lot of different things when he's healthy, which he hasn't been for a while. Adrian Peterson at 35 years old can be what exactly? Goal line guy? That's it? I mean, can he be anything else?
No.
Stay back and block? Like, I mean, do you even want to hand the ball to him at this point?
Look, it's not to the extent that the Steven Jackson signing was back in the day, but that would kind of remind me of that. And to me, look, you know, you're right in that we don't know what Damian Harris is, and obviously he's got the pinky issue, so he might not be there for week one. But generally, you look at the running backs that the Patriots have drafted, and it's usually outside of Sony Michel, a redshirt year in year one, and then in year two, you actually see what they can do. So to me, I would rather roll with that than bring in a veteran like Adrian Peterson, who I just have zero interest in that. You know what you're going to get from him. It's not going to wow you. Fournette at least has upside. Like, I just don't know what Peterson is bringing to the table that would make a move like that worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you'd probably get him for nothing. Then again, if there's four other teams that are in on him, and it seems like there might be, you know, with the Bears and let's see, who else? The Bears, the Vikings, and the Philadelphia Eagles. It would be funny if you went back to the Vikings. But they already have Dalvin Cook and that other kid, Madison. So, yeah. I mean, I don't really see what they'd even use for him. Chicago Bears, sure. Montgomery has a groin injury. Tariq Cohen and Cordarrelle Patterson, I guess. Are there other running backs there? They could probably use him. And for the Eagles, makes a little bit of sense. They have a couple undrafted free agents to go with Sanders and Corey Clement and the rest of those guys. None of them are all that good. Thing is, Peterson's not good either. I mean, Peterson at 35
right.
is
that's,
not
and
really...
And that's my whole point. There's just not a lot of upside there, and all it's going to do is take away carries from, like, let's find out if Damian Harris can actually play or not, you know, once he gets back here. I would rather see that than bring in a guy like Adrian Peterson where there's a low ceiling there. You know what you're going to get, and I don't think it's going to be that much of a difference maker. Like, a move like that just doesn't excite me at all.
I'll tell you what, Peterson had a better year last year than Sony Michel.
Again, low bar.
898 yards, 5 touchdowns in 15 games. That's 4.3 yards per carry. Maybe that's not better than Sony Michel, but it's on par with it. Right on par with what Sony Michel gave you last year. And, you know, Peterson at 35. I mean, really, I don't know. I don't know if there's a ton of difference there between those two. I know that Michel was hurt last year, but I don't have a ton of faith in him. I don't. I just feel like running backs in general, you're lucky if you get a good year or two out of a running back, even on a rookie deal. And then you move on to the next one. I mean, running backs have the smallest shelf life of just about any NFL player because they take so much punishment. They get hurt. Their explosiveness goes away. They get a knee injury. They can't cut anymore. I mean, these things, they happen all the time. The only thing that Adrian Peterson being on the team would give you is a chance to watch him break, you know, the all-time rushing records. Or not even break the records, but, like, move up the list of all-time yards and all-time touchdowns and all that stuff because he's been around so long. I think Peterson right now is fourth on the all-time list. He needs 12 touchdowns to tie Marcus Allen at 123. And that's one thing you could have, but that's really the only thing I think he offers to any team right now. Adrian Peterson, I mean, Is he serviceable? Yeah, I guess, in the same way that like Frank Gore is.
Right.
But do you think either of those guys are going to win you anything? No,
no,
of course not. Of course not. He'd be a guy that would be in the room and would probably, you know, get a lot of cameras shoved in his face and microphones shoved in his face after games that he didn't play a lot in. And Bill hates stuff like that, doesn't he? Doesn't Bill hate it when, you know, someone's getting a ton of attention for no reason just because of their name? And Peterson would be one of those guys. So, and
although
wouldn't Cam Newton also be one of those guys?
Yeah,
but Cam Newton's the quarterback. You know, Cam Newton is the quarterback. He's going to go out there and make those plays and have the, you know, burden of whether or not they win or lose fall on his shoulders. Adrian Peterson's going to be one of five running backs who may or may not even get on the field, but because he's Adrian Peterson, you're going to see people crowding around trying to get pictures with him, you know, and everything else, and try and get sound from him. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just sort of, you know, maybe I'm projecting a little bit here, but I don't really see the point in going after Peterson. And I also think that would be a real letdown, considering that they were in on Leonard Fournette and let him go to Tampa Bay. Wouldn't it be funny if the Bucs signed them? Bucs just signed everybody. Yeah, we got Fournette. We want Peterson too. We're going to get Peterson, McCoy, Fournette. We are not stopping until
loading up, man.
We have every free agent that there is. And, you know, I look at what they're doing down there in Tampa Bay, McCone. It reminds me a lot of what the Broncos did for Peyton Manning, you know? Like that, to me, like the Broncos went out and signed everybody.
You tried to maximize the window?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Brady wanted Bill to do for him here at the end. And he didn't do it. And now he goes down to Tampa Bay, and they already had a good offense in place there already. But they're bringing in all these other guys. They're bringing in Gronkowski for him. They're bringing in McCoy. They're bringing in Fournette. They're doing all this stuff. And the Patriots, I think that's all really Brady ever wanted at the end of his time with New England. Is could you just load up for one
Why
last run here?
You, by the
please
way,
just do this?
Here's the thing, too. When you have the greatest quarterback of all time on your roster, that's what you should do. You shouldn't leave it up to Jacoby Myers to try to make plays down the stretch at the end of the year. And yeah, sure, they went out and tried to make some moves. It didn't work, but man, it shouldn't have gotten to the point where all of a sudden you're relying on having to trade a second round pick for Mohamed Sanu. There should have been more weapons on the roster going into the year last year than what there were.
And I know what a lot of Patriots apologists will say. Well, they tried. You know, they went out and signed Antonio Brown. Don't give me that. That's a half-assed move. Signing Antonio Brown was a half-assed move. You were putting all of your faith into Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, two of the least reliable guys in the history of the NFL. So don't tell me that they made a real serious push for that. They didn't. The one thing you could say is that, well, they used a first-round pick on a wide receiver. Got me there. Okay, they did do that, and I agree with you there. They did go out and put some real draft capital into a wide receiver, and it ended up not being a guy that really I think is even going to make the top five of wide receivers in this past draft class. He's already been passed over by a lot of different players. So, you know, you tell me, is that good enough? Is that acceptable? Is that an acceptable way to load up? Is that what the Broncos did for Peyton Manning, to load up for him in those 2-3 years he played there? No, it's not. And they're not doing it for Cam Newton either. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll get to your phones right after this.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, 12:22 here on The Sports. So we got another Stop and Shop gift card giveaway coming your way in about a half hour. We'll tell you all about it then, but it's good stuff. We already gave one away today. Doing another one. And now's a great time to get one, too. You know? You got the big grill weekend coming up here. In fact, most of you probably already started, so we thank you for tuning in here today. We know it's a long weekend like this. Everyone probably took Thursday off already. I mean, we're already 4 days into this 5 day weekend. So there you go. Anyway, we'll do that at 12:50. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Arcan here alongside Tim McCone. As promised, let's get to your calls. We'll start with Pearl up in New Hampshire with a thought on the Pats running backs. Hi, Pearl.
Hi, you guys, I wonder if y'all just say stuff for effect. I know Jones say stuff for effect, when he said Leonard Fournette's terrible. But to say Adrian Peterson would bring nothing to this running back room when he ran for almost 900 yards last year on a Washington team that didn't have a great offensive line, had no quarterback, so all they did is load the box on him. At 34 years old, he was doing better than what you have in that room right now. And he would be a significant upgrade in this system where you, and with Cam Newton, you know running backs always do a lot better with Cam Newton under center because he has that threat to hold linebackers and DNs.
Okay, then why wouldn't Sony Michel do that much better? What do you need Adrian Peterson for if you have Sony Michel? Wouldn't he get better from Cam Newton?
Well, you would think so if he could stay on the field, if he's not out of shape. He hasn't proven anything. At least I could say I know, like you said, you know what you're going to get out of Adrian Peterson. It's up in the air with what Sony Michel going to do. It's up in the air with Harrison going to do. So I need something that in this year with what they have, that running back room has to be consistent. It's something that I can rely on because we all know that the wide receivers are not great. But Cam Newton has played, you know, in Carolina. You can't really name any of those wide receivers that he had when he went to the Super Bowl. So, I mean, the fact is that the running back has to be special right now, or at least something that you can rely on.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I tend to agree with you, Pearl. I didn't say that Peterson would bring nothing to the room. I just don't necessarily think that he would be a big improvement. I think Leonard Fournette would be an improvement. I think Adrian Peterson would be more of a lateral move. Plus, at 35 years old, I have to assume that there's going to be a bit of a drop-off. There was last year. He went from 2018 rushing for over 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns to last year, not even 900 yards and 5 touchdowns. So if you sort of extrapolate that and assume that he's going to fall off a little bit even more next year, this year, then that's probably somewhere around 800 yards, maybe 4 touchdowns. Is that bad? No, it's not terrible. But is that something that you don't get from Sony Michel or even from somebody like Lamar Miller if he ever gets healthy? Like, I think you could probably get those numbers. Peterson, listen, I think Peterson has shown that, you know, late in his career, he still had something left in the tank. He's been okay in Washington. He hasn't been great, but he's been fine. He's been good down there. And they decided to move on from him. So, number one, what's that tell you? And number two, you know, if you're not going to make a play for Fournette, why would you go after someone 11 years older?
Yeah, so to me, too, like he might have something left in the tank, and that's fine. But again, you have Sony Michel, and then also I'd rather see what Damian Harris can actually do on the field once he gets healthy than roll with an Adrian Peterson where just long-term, that guy's not going to be in your future. Let's see if Damian Harris can actually be a piece moving forward for New England. I'd rather see that this year than bring in a veteran to give you what Adrian Peterson is going to give you. There's just I just don't see the ceiling or the point in doing that.
I'm just looking at Peterson in his prime. Oh, my God.
He's pretty good.
These numbers are ridiculous. They really are. From his rookie year on, he rushed for over 1,300, almost 1,350 and 12 touchdowns. His second year, 1,760 and 10. 2009, 1,383 and 18 touchdowns, which I was told because LeGarrette Blount did that, it's not that many. 2010. 1,298 yards, 12 touchdowns. 2011, 970 yards and 12 touchdowns. 2012, 2,097 yards and 12 touchdowns. This guy was a monster.
Eight years ago.
Absolute monster. 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, is he completely washed up? No. 898 yards and 5 touchdowns is a perfectly good season for anybody, really. But Sony Michel last year ran for more yards and more touchdowns. And that was a down year for Sony Michel. Yeah. I think we can all agree on that, right? And his yards per average, you know, his yards per carry went down. His yards per game went down. It wasn't like he tore it up last year. But he was still better than Adrian Peterson. I think that Michel is probably still trending upwards, and I think Peterson's trending downwards. Does he need a change of scenery? No. He's 35. He's just an old running back. He's an old big running back who could probably do something here. He could be a goal line guy. But I think there's probably going to be other teams that'll just be a little bit more drawn in by the name, and maybe they'll offer a little bit more. Okay. And I think the Patriots have sort of shown that they'll put a value on a guy and they won't budge from it. And I think that's probably what happened with Fournette. They said, you know what, we like you, Leonard. We think that you could, you know, help out here and be a good player on this team and part of what we're trying to do, but we're not willing to spend more than $1.8 million or something along those lines. And, you know, you want to throw in some incentives, get it up to two, fine, we'll do that. And then here come the Buccaneers, like, we'll give you 2.5. Like, whoa, 2.5? Or no, not even 2.5. 2 million with incentives to get it to 3.5. which is not very much. I mean, the Patriots certainly could have matched that. They sort of could have gotten that. I think that Adrian Peterson would be a bit of a consolation prize there. And I don't really know. I think he would take snaps away from Sony Michel, and I'm not necessarily sure that I would want that to happen. I'd be okay with Leonard Fournette taking those snaps away. I'm not sure I'd be okay with Adrian Peterson doing that, if that clears things up at all, Pearl. 617-779-0985. Let's try Donnie in Weymouth. Hey, Donnie.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
What's up, Donnie?
Yeah, so, you know, the last call, I just, like, pretty much took my take. But you know what? So what we have this year, we only have Julian Edelman, and we just we lost a new, and Gunnar Olszewski apparently can't catch balls in practice. So you know what? Load up the running backs. Let's see what they can do. If you have four or five that can, you know, make a difference, that's the difference between this team and now, you know? And there's nothing else you can do, you know? If you can't have four or five guys go out there, you know, in the slot, what else do the Patriots have? They have LeVar Miller. What is he going to do? We have, what's the new kid that we just brought in?
Running back?
Yes.
They brought in a new running back?
No, the new kid we just brought in.
I don't know who you're talking about. Oh, Miller? You just mentioned him.
Yes. Yeah. No, LeVar Miller. But I'm saying the our starting running back. Who is our starting running back right now if you have this?
Sony Michel.
On the depth chart. Sony, you guys really think Sony Michel
is the starting running? I know he's the starting running back.
I don't agree with that.
You think Damian Harris is going to start?
I think so, because, you know,
he's hurt though.
Damian Harris hurt his hand. He's probably not going to be ready for the opener.
I agree, but it's like we don't have anything other than that. So I'm saying,
all right, well, Donnie, you can't play the guy who's injured, all right? You can't throw the guy with a hand injury who's not going to play week one out there on the field in week one. It's not going to work. You're right. They don't have anything else. But Sony Michel isn't injured. Sony Michel may be out of shape and heavy, but he's not injured. Damian Harris hurt his hand. He broke his pinky or something like that. They don't think he's going to be able to play opening night. And he also didn't play at all last year. I mean, really, he didn't get on the field. So I'm not ready to just throw Harris out there and say, all right, Damian, you're the new running back. Go out there and lead us to victory. Sony Michel still has to be the guy who gets most of the carries this year, for better or for worse. And James White's going to spell him in the passing downs, and Harris will come in when he comes in. But I think really Harris right now is Michel insurance. And I don't even know if he's going to be good at that. I mean, we don't know anything about Damian Harris. What could we possibly know about him? We haven't seen him. I believe people who say he looked good in practice. I believe everybody who said that. I believe all the beat writers and even the Patriots players and defensive players who all have been raving and ranting about Damian Harris. But I have, I mean, there's no reason for me to think that he's going to suddenly step onto the field in a real game and be a lead back or a feature back. I think he'll spell Sony Michel once in a while, maybe. Same way that Rex Burkhead maybe comes in for James White or Sony Michel. I hope we don't see a lot of Rex Burkhead this year. I really don't. I like him. I mean, I think he's added some things to the team over the years. But I'd prefer to see Sony Michel or Harris or White or, I don't know, Lamar Miller or anybody take the mantle and make it so that someone like Rex Burkhead isn't quite so necessary. That'd be nice to see. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls right after the headlines here from Tim.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
.12:37 here on the Sports Hub. Just seeing on Twitter right now, one of the bars on Boylston Street that says is going to be closing this week may not be closing after all.
Yeah, false alarm.
Could be a reclamation project here in the works. We'll tell you all about that later on in the final hour of the program. I had a whole segment planned for that. Also, next segment we'll be playing the apology game. We've been meaning to do this on the night show, Jones and I, as there was an apology issued by a certain member of the Red Sox. Well, certain former member of the Red Sox now. He got shipped out of town. And that added on with some of the other great apologies in sports history means that we'll be playing the apology game where, McCone, I will play some sound from a sports figure apologizing, and you have to tell me who it is and what they're apologizing for. You ready for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We got a couple rounds of that we can play next segment. In the meantime, let's flush out the rest of these Patriots-related phone calls as I disassemble this entire studio. 617-779-0985. Carlos is up in New Hampshire. Hello, Carlos.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
My whole take is, you know, with the lack of talent we have at wide receiving, why not go for Dez Bryant? It worked out prior with Randy Moss. Why not take a chance with Dez?
Well, Dez has been out of the league a couple of years. Randy Moss was not out of the league. He was down in Oakland, you know, playing with those crappy Raiders, or up in Oakland, I should say. And it did seem like maybe, you know, his career was trending downwards and he was sort of out the door, but he was only 30, 31 years old. It's not like he was really old. And that ended up working out perfectly. As far as Dez is concerned, they tried that with the Saints, and he tore his Achilles on the first day of practice, right?
So not only was he not really super productive, or at least the production fell off and has been out of the league for a while, but yeah, he's coming off the Achilles injury too, so I don't necessarily know that he's going to be a game breaker, but you're right. In terms of wide receivers, man, you look at this wide receiving core for the Patriots, and outside of Edelman, there's nothing there. I mean, maybe N'Keal Harry turns into a player, but so far, I mean, it's unproven as a first-round pick, and he flashed at times last year, but that's anything from slam dunk. I mean, there are some major, major questions. And for Cam Newton, you're kind of looking around now that Sanu's gone, wait, what veterans can I rely on in this receiving core?
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, the Ravens looked at Dez. They took a look at him, and their wide receiver group isn't great either. They got Hollywood Brown, who's good. But Miles Boykin is kind of an in-betweener guy. Willie Sneed's just sort of a third or fourth wide receiver. And these other guys, I don't even know. Chris Moore, Jaleel Scott, James Proche. I mean, I don't know who those guys are. I feel like Dez Bryant would look good on that list of names, wouldn't it? I mean, he'd look good in that room on that list. But they had him for a workout, I think, 3 weeks ago, and he didn't make the team. So I don't know. If Dez could give you something, I'd sure take a look at him. But I don't think you just go and sign him because his name's Dez Bryant. I feel like that's kind of the same thing as going out and getting Adrian Peterson. Well, he's Adrian Peterson. You know, how could you pass up getting him? I feel like the Bucs did that a little bit even with Shady McCoy. Like, Shady McCoy's best days are way behind him. And they went out there and picked him up, and I feel like, you know, they've been looking all offseason to try and strengthen that running back room. They don't have to anymore with Leonard Fournette. I think you're all set there. But for the Patriots, I mean, Dez Bryant, yeah, bring him in for a tryout, but I don't expect he'd make the team.
It's those type of moves that remind me of what Washington used to do in free agency when they bring in, like, Jason Taylor, and he's, like, 46 years old at that point, or Deion Sanders at the end, too, where it's these monster names, and, yeah, they make headlines, but ultimately, how much does that player have left? I can't imagine Dez Bryant at this point has much left in the tank.
Yeah, I can't imagine that he does either. And I don't even know, are there any wide receivers still available? I mean, I know Jadeveon Clowney's still available. I think, is Devontae Freeman, did he sign anywhere?
So our colleague at 98.5, Alex Barth, just put out a list yesterday of the available options.
Oh, really? Okay. All right, yeah, Freeman's still a free agent. I mean, there's a guy, you know, you talk about a running back who can catch the ball. Any wide receivers on that list? Anybody worth taking a look at?
See.
Who's not, you know, like T.O. or something. Like, T.O. every year is like, yeah, I can play.
Right.
I'll try out Seattle. Yeah, I'll come try out for you guys. Like, other than T.O., are there any wide receivers out there that you see on Barth's list? Because I can't think of any, and, you know, I sort of feel like this is the bed you made. You know, now you got a lie in it here with this team. And I also think, and I was talking to Jones about this yesterday, McCone, I think that the wide receiver position, for all the attention that it gets and for how much money these guys get, and, you know, really, it's just it's a very high profile, very kind of sexy position in the NFL. You catch, you're fast, you get in the end zone. I mean, you get to do touchdown dances and sort of all this other stuff. Being a wide receiver is pretty great. But having a bunch of great, great wide receivers on your team doesn't necessarily lead to much, does it? I mean, like, Felger talks about this all the time. When's the last great wide receiver who won a Super Bowl? I know there's been some examples lately, but the Patriots, most years that they win Super Bowls, don't have some great stable of wide receivers. Really, their best years at wide receiver, they didn't win anything. You know, when they had Randy Moss and Wes Welker and those guys didn't win anything. And that's when Bill actually went out of his way to go out there and trade for Wes Welker, which was a guy who he identified was killing them on the Dolphins.
Yeah.
You remember what Wes Welker used to do to the Patriots? He'd run all over him.
Stallworth.
Stallworth was another one. I mean, he was on those teams. Randy Moss, that trade was a big trade, changed the whole, you know, direction of the franchise. But they didn't win anything in those years. They could have, and they probably should have, but they didn't. Every championship they've won has been with a wide receiver group that was led by the likes of either Troy Brown or Deion Branch or Julian Edelman, with guys like Amendola in there and what's his name, Brandon LaFell, and what was the rookie in the
Malcolm Mitchell.
Malcolm Mitchell, who I got mean, hurt the, and he's not there. But I mean, those are the kind of wide receivers they won with.
So the one outlier in the second run, though, is that you're also playing with, I mean, at the time, and especially in 2014, you're talking about probably the best offensive player outside of quarterbacks in Rob Gronkowski, right?
Right.
So you had that in the fold too. So
that's an important thing.
The list that Barth threw together. So Taylor Gabriel is out there, Jermaine Kearse, Jerron Brown, Demaryius Thomas.
Bring him, but why not?
Maurice Harris, and obviously now Mohamed Sanu. Long shots, Dez Bryant.
They should sign Mohamed Sanu. I think Michael, that guy could really make a difference.
Michael Crabtree.
Oh wow. Crabtree, huh?
So maybe Crabtree's the I don't know. Not a lot of
I feel like Crabtree's better than most, just about every guy you got, right?
You're not wrong, yeah.
I'll take Crabtree over just about everybody other than Edelman. Maybe Nikhil Harry, I'd take over Crabtree, but that's about it. And again, I mean, that just sort of tells you. Damir Bird? Jacoby Myers? Gunnar Olszewski? Or would you write Michael Crabtree? I don't even think Crabtree's that good. Mostly he's known for getting the chain ripped off by, what's his name? Akeem Tlaib.
Oh, yeah, Tlaib. Yeah.
he took it. Even when he glued it to himself, Akeem still ripped that thing off of him. So it's not like he's some big shakes here, but come on. He's better than what you got. I wonder if they're going to make any last-second changes. Even someone like Demaryius Thomas, I feel like, could give you something. He gave the Jets something last year. Over what you have here. I don't know. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. When we come back, we will play the apology game. There was an apology issued this week by a former Boston Red Sox, and we will play the apology game right after this.
Zulak and Bertrand. Middays. 98.5 Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here on the Sports Hub, Zolak and Bertrand, Arcan and McCone in for the guys today here on this Friday, beginning of your long weekend. Thanks for joining us, and as you can hear from the song we're playing right now, it's time for Great Moments in Sports Apologies, or also known as the Apology Game. Tim McCone, you can play along if you'd like to. Billy Lanny, I think Lanny already knows who these people are, I'm not sure. But if you want to chime in, if you get stuck, you want to do a lifeline or something back there behind the glass, you could maybe do that. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to play a couple of seconds of an athlete or maybe a coach or a former athlete, something like that, apologizing, and you're going to have to tell me who he is and what he's apologizing for. This, of course, coming on the heels of Kevin Pillar, former Boston Red Sox, who had some very odd comments about Black Lives Matter and how we shouldn't just uplift black people, we should uplift everybody and all this stuff, and people didn't like that, and he ended up getting traded. I don't think he got traded for those comments, but he came out with a big apology, and his apology made even less sense than his initial comments. Like, I really don't know what the hell Kevin Pillar's talking about. I didn't know what he meant by that, and I didn't really know what his apology meant either. Really, it was all, I just see the world a little differently from everybody else. Like, okay, Kevin, well, maybe just, you know, shut up next time. That was his big apology this week. This whole game started with Drew Brees. So let's begin with apology number one. Tim McCone, I want you to tell me who this is apologizing and what are they apologizing for. Ready? Here we go.
I've wanted to apologize to them for so many things, for being immature, for being dumb, for being young, for not knowing any better, for getting caught up with everything that was thrown my way. But I didn't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul, and that's what I was doing. And I from the bottom of my heart, I know I haven't been the best person, the best quarterback for the Steelers. And I'm not
Damn it. Yeah, I cut it. Didn't cut it off in time. Well, I think you know who that one was.
Jolly Batch.
Mason Rudolph.
Roethlisberger, huh?
That was Ben Roethlisberger, and I think we all know what he was apologizing for.
Yeah.
I thought I cut that off sooner, but I didn't.
That's
blew that one.
That's all right. I'm going to still count it as a win for
all right, yeah, okay. So there you go. There's a nice little... There's one for you there. That was Ben Roethlisberger apologizing to Sally Wiggin from Channel 4 in Pittsburgh. She's like that bulldog reporter who will get, you know,
the sit down
interview with Ben. Look me in the eye and apologize, Ben. One of those. And she did a good job. Good job getting an apology there. All right. Let's move on to apology number two.
And I would love to be able to erase the whole past. But unfortunately, I can't. I just can't do it. I wish I could. I wish I had never did it. You know, we all make mistakes, and I made a big mistake.
You started betting.
Okay.
Pete Rose.
That was Pete Rose. And again, I am very, very slow on cutting these clips off.
Took him a while to actually come out with the apology, right? Has he ever fully apologized for it?
I don't think so. Yeah, well, right? he said he shouldn't have done it. That's kind of like apologizing.
I guess so, yeah.
And maybe he didn't say, I'm sorry, but he did say it was a mistake and he shouldn't have done it. I included Jeremy Schapp there talking about the betting. But yes, that was a pretty good apology. Nice sit-down interview there with Jeremy Schapp. Pete Rose sort of apologizing. Maybe that's not more expressing regret for something that happened. All right, let's move on to apology number three.
I had gay family members. I still have gay family members. And, you know, I have to talk to them on a regular. You know, and I had to make sure that they understand that, you know, I shouldn't have said those things. And I was wrong to say them. And because, you know, I made it all right for people to bully them. I made it all
right. All right. Who was that?
I have no idea. I have no idea who that was. Billy, you got anything?
I got a guess.
Okay, Billy.
Tim Hardaway.
That is correct. Very good. That was absolutely right. Tim Hardaway, who
That's
in
right.
2007,
That's right.
I believe in yes. 2007 yeah, yeah. on a radio show, I forget, I think Dan Lebatard maybe? John Amici had just come out as gay, and it was after he had retired. And they asked Tim Hardaway what he thought about it. And Tim Hardaway said, if he was on my team, I'd try and get him kicked off the team. So, well, wait a minute. That's pretty homophobic. And he said, yeah, I'm homophobic. I don't like gay people. If there is a gay person on my team, I try and get him kicked off the team. I am homophobic. I'm Tim Hardaway, bleh, and right in the face. Yeah. That was in 2007. He said that. He said, I'm homophobic. And then all these years later, I think that was on... I think that was on the Charles Oakley podcast or Vlad TV or something like that. He finally came back and apologized. I don't know if that was his first public apology. But, yeah, that was Tim Hardaway apologizing for his homophobic comments. And finally, our last and fourth and final apology for the apology game. Tim McCone, who is this and what is he apologizing for?
The first day I walked into prison and they slammed that door, I knew, you know, the magnitude of the decisions that I make and the poor judgment and what I, you know, allowed to happen to the animals.
Who was that?
That was Mike Vick.
Michael Vick is correct. Very Love good. It. All right. McCone, nice job. I think you got what? Two out of four? Three out of four?
I'm going to go three out of four.
Three
you
out of
what?
Four.
I would have gotten Roethlisberger. Yeah.
I think you could have gotten that too. That was, in fact, Michael Vick apologizing on 60 Minutes for what he did to the animals. Let's hear a little more.
And... you know, it's no way of, you know, explaining, you know, the hurt and the guilt that I felt. And that was the reason I cried so many nights. And that put it all into perspective.
That was the reason he cried in prison. The animals. could have been any other number
of
reasons,
of
but yeah,
things,
that
yeah.
was the main reason right there. So there you go. That is great moments in the sports apologies or the 98.5 The Sports Hub apology game. McCone, not bad. You did pretty well. Last time we played this, we played with the listeners, and I promised the winner an autographed pair of DJ Alexi glow sticks. But because
that's
of the pandemic,
now that's a prize.
It's a great prize, I know. But because of the pandemic, we've been unable to give prizes away. I know we do the unboxing here, which is kind of dangerous, by the way. Now that I think about it. it. But we're not supposed to be giving stuff to people that is here, and I understand that. But we will continue as long as there are athletes and former athletes and coaches and people in the sports world in general apologizing. We will tally it all up for you, and we will play the apology game. So that's what we did there. And
I like that.
McCone, I think you did pretty well.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
You know what's good about this game? You can't cheat. You know, you can't cheat on it. You're listening. You got to know who it is. I guess you could, like, type in what they're saying and try and find, like, a transcript of it. But it's not like a trivia game where you can just look up the answer.
Right.
Like,
no,
that.
No,
you're listening to the voice. You got to really know who it is and what they sound like. Like, I like this. Game has integrity.
You got plenty of content, too, coming, by the way. You got, like, a Lance Armstrong, any of the steroid guys from Major League Baseball,
oh,
and
yeah.
Their apologies. Yeah, you got plenty of
options. Well, you know what? A lot
forward.
Of them didn't apologize. You know? Barry Bonds
never apologized.
Deny.
Yeah, that's true.
Roger never apologized.
Yeah.
Giambi never, but you know how I know this? Because I was looking for it. I was clicking through YouTube looking for, like, did any of these guys ever apologize for doing steroids? And very few of
them
did.
Turns out, no. Yeah.
I think, like, Andy Pettit did, and that's probably it. Like, I don't know. Canseco wrote that whole book. Did he ever apologize?
I was going to say, did Palmeiro ever apologize? I don't think so, right?
No, not after
kind of
pointing at Congress.
Yeah, yeah.
Telling
more admissions than apologies.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
yeah. Like, McGuire admitted to it. Never apologized for it, but admitted to it.
I think McGuire apologized recently. Didn't he? Wasn't there some interview with him where he said, you know, he shouldn't have done it? I don't know. Maybe not. But yeah, he did admit it. That's true.
You know what, though? That
an admission's not an apology.
Yeah, but it kind of falls in line with, like, Billy's theory, too. Like, honestly, probably shouldn't apologize for it because the game was a lot more exciting when it was actually in the sport.
Yeah. Sorry for saving the game.
Yeah.
I'll admit it just because you want to hear it.
Right. Right. I'm not going to apologize for it, though. Yeah.
Exactly. But that's true. You know, the steroid era saved baseball. It did. After the strike, it absolutely saved it. 617-779-0985 is the phone number if you want to get on and talk with us. But if you would like to win a $100 Stop and Shop gift card, be caller 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985 and get your $100 Stop and Shop gift card. Whether you're grilling, baking, stir frying, or sauteing, grilling outdoors, or cooking inside, make the most of every meal at your Stop and Shop. 617-931-0985 is the phone number. Tim McCone. He's got your headlines, and then final hour coming.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What's up? Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Zolak and Bertrand program. I'm Christian Arcand alongside Tim McCone. Going until 2 o'clock today, then it's off to, Felger and Maz take over. They got a full show today? They can't, right? They have anybody on the show?
I think it's Felger.
Hook McCarthy.
Yeah.
Felger and McCarthy?
Felger Hook McCarthy.
Felger Hook McCarthy.
Yep.
All right. Well, I guess you spend enough weekends on Nantucket, they make you stay on Friday. How about that? All right, well, there you go. That's coming up at 2 o'clock. In the meantime, your phone's at 617-779-0985. That is the phone number. We'll get to a couple of phone calls, then reset on the Celtics. Let's go to Greg in Quincy with a thought on Troy Brown, of all people. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
What's up?
I just wanted to say that I can't believe everybody forgot about...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.